Your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. In the Red Pew Bibles, something's wrong. Page 1125. This is one of the post-resurrection experiences that we see. These two disciples were going from Jerusalem on the way to this town of Emmaus. We're not sure exactly where Emmaus is, but it's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And so it is on this road that they encounter the risen Jesus. And so we pick up the story, Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of an angel who said that he was alive. Some of those who were there with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of the Lord. What a great story. This was always one of my favorites. Our theme for this year is living biblically, taking biblical principles and biblical teaching and applying them to our everyday lives. And to apply that to this story of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, to live biblically is to live with the reality that Jesus of Nazareth has been raised from the dead, and he is alive. If we believe that Jesus really is alive, how does that reality impact our everyday lives, especially in times of hopelessness, times of trial, times of challenge? Well, in our reading from Luke 24, we heard of the encounter that Jesus had with two of his disciples. It was late afternoon on the day of resurrection. The two disciples were on their way from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a small village about 7 miles away. Jesus came and started to walk alongside them, but we are told their eyes were kept from recognizing him. It wasn't just that he looked differently, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They didn't know that it was Jesus. The disciples were filled with sadness and hopelessness because they had hoped that Jesus of Nazareth was, quote, the one to redeem Israel. But the chief priests and the rulers delivered him up to the Romans, and they crucified him. The one in whom they had placed all their hopes was now dead. The disciples were also filled with confusion. Some of the women went to the tomb early in that same morning and found the tomb was empty. They claimed that they saw some angels who told them that Jesus was alive. Some other disciples then went to the tomb themselves and also found it empty. But Jesus they did not see. Crazy stuff. Unbelievable. Amazing. We have to look at the mental state of these disciples. First, there was blindness. They were kept from recognizing Jesus. Second, there was hopelessness. They had thought he was the one who was going to redeem Israel and kick out the Romans and establish the Davidic kingdom again and Solomon and all the greatness of the history. And then they were filled with confusion because some women went. I mean, whoever believes women? That's how it was back then. Still is. And still is. We're not going to touch that one. Women come and they say, we went to anoint the body and it wasn't there. It's gone. And the angels were there. And they said that he's risen. He's alive. The disciples said their words sounded like foolishness to them. So they run to the tomb themselves. And sure enough, the tomb is empty. But they don't know why. Jesus they did not see. And so they were amazed and wondered. And so here we see this state of these disciples, filled with blindness, hopelessness, and confusion. Does any of this sound familiar? Some of us have been on this road to Emmaus, have we not? Some of us are on the road still. We never expected life to be easy. God never promised us a rose garden, right? We all knew that. But for some of us, we just never expected it to be this hard. We expected God to bless us and prosper us. After all, we had given our lives to him, and we believed. Sometimes it just seems that Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat while the storm continues to rage. We look for Jesus and we see nothing. We listen for Jesus and we hear nothing. It seems that our eyes are kept from recognizing him. It's a hard place to be. Hard place to be. So what does this story tell us about being able to see Jesus and to hear his voice? Well, I think it tells us three things. First and foremost, it tells us about the importance of the scriptures. Remember how Jesus came and walked along with the men. And it says, quote, beginning with Moses and the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, and how the Christ must suffer before being raised in his glory. That was a very common thing for the Jews at that time, to look at the wonderful things about the divinic kingdom and the Messiah coming and establishing the kingdom and all the great things. But what about the suffering servant of Isaiah 52 and 53? Well, we didn't understand that part. And so he had to explain all of the scriptures, not just some of the scriptures, all of the scriptures. How important that is. Remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. The rich man died and was suffering in Hades, while Lazarus was resting at the bosom of Abraham, paradise. And so the rich man says to Abraham, "Send Lazarus to warn my brothers so that they don't come to this place of torment." And Abraham says to the rich man, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." That's how important the scriptures are, to listen to the word of God. For it is primarily, not always, but primarily through the word written that we encounter the living word, Jesus Christ. And so I think our first thing this morning is to reflect once again, we do this time and time again, the importance of the scriptures. So much happened according to the scriptures. We see that in our own creeds. According to the scriptures, this happened. According to the scriptures, that happened. Jesus fulfilled this according to the scriptures. It's not just knowledge that we gain. There's also power. There's also relationship. I've shared this before, an amazing story about somebody we knew, an actual story, went to a conference for a psychiatrist. Can you imagine a bunch of psychiatrists getting together for a conference? Must have been a happy time, right? Evaluating one another and wondering, what did you mean by that? It'd be a hard thing. So one of the presenters was actually sharing, this was a conference, secular conference. One of the presenters was sharing that he had a particularly difficult case, was a teenager who had been to multiple counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists and could find no relief. Despair, hopelessness. So they brought him to this one guy, and he said to this teenager, he said, "You know, you've been through all these counselors, good people." He says, "Would you be willing to try something different?" And the kid said, "Sure, I'll try anything." So when he would come for his counseling sessions, they would read scripture. I think it was the true story. I think it was the Gospel of Matthew. They just started reading the Gospel of Matthew. Come together for his session each week, for an hour, and they would just sit and read the scriptures. And this kid experienced a healing, a strengthening, simply by the power of the scriptures being applied in his life and the presence that comes and the peace that comes from the word of God. I have never been diagnosed with any kind of a serious illness. I know some of us have. My sense, though, there have been some times, I have had some trials. We had a loss of our son. But I think even looking back to that, if I had another real great trial, I mean, I do it all the time, but I think even more so, I would just turn to the Bible and I would just start reading through the scriptures for hours. For hours. The Psalms. Can you imagine reading all 150 Psalms in one day? I knew some of the great people like Derek Prince. Derek Prince says he read through the whole Bible every single year. And he did that for years and years and years. And the power of his witness, the power of his testimony, it wasn't just an accident. It came because of the power of the Word of God being manifest in us and through us. Yes, truly, it is primarily through the Word written that we encounter the living Word of God. The Scriptures are that important and that powerful. And that's the first thing we see in these disciples, that Jesus opened their minds to the scriptures about all that the scriptures said about him. A second thing we learned from this story was that these two disciples had a great desire. We're told in the story that Jesus was going to go farther. After they had this encounter and they finally came to the village where they were going, it says Jesus was going to go farther. But they urged him strongly. They didn't just say, hey, by the way, if you have nothing better to do, you know, you're welcome to stay with us. No, they urged him strongly. No, please stay with us. The day is far spent. Come and stay with us. It was a passion of their hearts. We wanted to hear more. And they strongly urged him to stay. And so we see the impact of what's available to us in the scriptures, but also how badly do we want it? How badly do we want it? In Jeremiah 29:13, God says this, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me and be found by me. That's pretty specific. Again, I love that M. Scott Peck talks about original sin, the birth sin of all of us is laziness. Laziness. We know what we need to do. We're just too lazy to do it. It's just not that important. If someone were to say to us, by the way, is there any way you could, you know, come closer in your relationship with God? Well, yeah, if I spent more time in the scriptures, I suppose I would get to know God better. Well, do we do it? Do we do it? And so, the desire, is it there that we truly want an encounter with the risen Christ? We truly want God to speak to us, whatever's going on in our lives, whatever guidance we're looking for, whether it's healing or relationships or finances or whatever. If we really want to hear the word of God speaking to us and his presence with us and his peace within us, the word of God, the scriptures, are what leads us to that. And are we willing to invest our time to find it? And so we see really steps one and step two are connected. The desire of our heart is manifested or demonstrated by our willingness to take time to get into the scriptures. And I would just tell you, if you're not in the habit of doing this as a regular discipline, just start with, you know, 5-10 minutes a day. That's all. Just say, I'm going to take 10 minutes a day before I go to bed at night, or when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to take 10 minutes. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. Your 10 minutes will go to 15, and your 15 will go to 20, and your 20 will go to 30. And it will start to become such a part of us that it is really the spiritual food that I can't do without any more than I can do without my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And that's important. Spiritual food for the soul in the Word of God and the Scriptures. All it takes is time. Time to invest and to dedicate ourselves. And the promise is if we will do that, God will come. So that's the first steps, the scriptures and the desire. The third one is perhaps the most difficult of all. Then we have to wait. We have to wait. Ultimately, the presence of God and the peace of God, his speaking to us, his voice, is a gift. It is a gift. We can't demand it. We can say, Lord, I just spent an hour in the scriptures and I didn't hear anything from you. God doesn't owe us in any way of what we spend. We simply offer it and try to be faithful, and then we just leave the door. It's like sowing the good seed, right? All we can do is prepare the soil. But it's God who sows it and God who gives growth. We can't demand anything of God because we have nothing to demand. And so it is purely God's grace that he gives us those times, but I do believe he will give us those times. He will, so we must wait upon the Lord. Divine intervention usually comes, in fact, when we least expect it. There's times I've gone through this learning and so forth and spending time in the scriptures. I've got an important question. I want the Lord to lead me and guide me, a simple thing. Lord, I'll do what you want if you just tell me what it is. How many times have we said that? I've said it a lot. Lord, I'll do what you want, Lord. Just tell me what it is. And all I hear is silence. So I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm not going to get up until I get an answer from God. my success with that has not been very great. Not been very great. But what happens? I'll get up, and then I'll start doing something. You know, like I said, sometimes taking a shower. I don't know what it is. But the ordinary things of life, all of a sudden it comes to me. Amazing. What happened to the disciples? They urged Jesus strongly, come and stay with us. They come and stay, all right, let's have some meal. He picks up a piece of ordinary bread, he breaks it, and he says a blessing. And what happened? Their eyes were opened, and they saw him. And then, poof, he's gone. Didn't last long, but oh, how wonderful and how sweet it was when it was here. And it filled their hearts so much. Remember, it's late, and they're coming to the end of their time, and what did they do? They say, oh, boy, we got tomorrow, you know, we need to tell the guys about this. No, they were so excited. They got up at that point immediately in the darkness, went back, no matter the dangers. We got to get back and tell the rest. And they went all the way back to Jerusalem, 7 miles. I bet they hoofed it. Probably didn't care much, you know, maybe ran the whole way because of the excitement of experiencing the risen Christ. And they get there and they think they're going to break this good news. And it's like, oh, yeah, he appeared to Peter, Simon. But they still said, well, let's tell you what happened to us. Let me tell you what happened to us. He came and he walked with us, and we didn't recognize him at first, but boy, he opened our minds to the scriptures. And wow, this was wonderful. Remember how our hearts burned within us. Have we ever had that experience with the scriptures? It's burning in our hearts. And then he broke some bread and our eyes were opened, and we saw it was Jesus all along. Wow, what an experience. What an experience. Not just for the disciples on the road to Emmaus, but this is for us on our road to Emmaus. Wherever Emmaus is for you, whatever it involves, whatever challenges are presented by it, whatever it is, Jesus is with us because he promised that he would be with us. He would never leave us. Remember that promise? The fact is, most of the time, we just don't recognize him. We just don't recognize him. But as we believe, I just firmly, we get into the Word of God. We have that desire. I look forward to that next time. This waiting, by the way, is not a passive waiting. It's an active waiting, an anticipation. I know he's going to show up. And he's going to show up when I least expect it. And what a glorious time it's going to be. And then I'm just going to give him thanks for showing up once again and speaking to me once again when I didn't realize it. That's what God does. So wherever the road to Emmaus is for us, it'll come when we least expect it. If we wait, and we wait with hope. Let me share with you the words of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The words of the prophet. To wait. How hard it is, especially in the midst of suffering, hardship, trials. It's hard to wait. And yet, another thing about the scriptures not only reveals the presence of Christ, the purpose of Christ, but also the realities. Remember what he shared with the disciples was the truth that was it not necessary for the Christ to first suffer before he entered into his glory. And I want to say, I wish it were not true, but I'm convinced more and more what's true for Jesus is true for each and every one of us. For some reason, it's necessary that we go through trials and suffering to get rid of this dross, to burn it off, before we enter into glory. As I've heard many people say this, just contemplate this as an amazing thing, is that there is no Easter without Good Friday. There is no Easter without Good Friday. And so we should expect it, not only expect it, but know that God's going to use it, and he's going to bless us in it. Whatever our road is taking us on now, let me share with you Paul's words to the Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Remember last week we listened to the Holy Spirit, and a lot of us heard that. I'm a child of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, listen to this, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. I wish it were not the way, but it seems to be what the scriptures reveal to us. It is the way of suffering, the path of suffering, that we are made into the image of Jesus. And so when we go through these times of trial It's not easy. Some have more than others. Certainly that's the case. But I believe as we look at this example of these disciples on the road to Emmaus, that if we truly immerse ourselves in the scriptures, and if we have that desire, I really want to see and hear Jesus and expect it to happen in the ordinary things of life, Jesus will show up when we least expect it. And he will bless us with his presence beyond measure. The road to Emmaus, not an easy road, but a necessary one. My brothers and sisters, we need this kind of encouragement, knowing that it's just around the corner. I can't sense his presence now, but I know pretty soon, somehow, some way, Jesus is going to show up. The kingdom of God is upon us, and truly, in Christ, the best is yet to come. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer?